Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence on Women Leading the Way Radio. Today, my guest is Sherry Petro of VIP Consulting. Sherry's a generational training expert presenter with hundreds of presentations, workshops, and seminars to her credit. Her passion is educating organizations on how to increase organizational sustainability by leveraging the talents and skills of all in multi-generational workplaces. A crusader masked as a management consultant, Sherry has stories, statistics, and style that drive the content home. Her good humor serves her well as she works through serious organizational issues to achieve results. Sherry is actually an edutainer. Whether it be an annual conference, work event, team meeting, or unique occasion, Sherry presents on several hot topics. Sherry, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. So I was wondering, where did your speaking skills start to develop? I know when I was a kid, my parents were ministers, and we were always put up on stage. So you could say I kind of started at an early age. But how did you get into the business?
So you probably started a little earlier than me. I was more of a thinker and a reader. But then I followed a friend of mine to an audition for our forensics team when I was in high school, not knowing that my English teacher was the gentleman who was going to be choosing. So she gets up to do her gig, and she talks a little bit, and he goes, "Oh, Amy, what? Go ahead, sit down. Sherry, why don't you try?" So he pulled me in, and that started it. Started giving presentations in high school, ended up being sixth in the state of Ohio in oratorical interpretation when I was a junior. And I just found that when I was up there, I couldn't act worth anything, but I just loved having a point of view and learning all the skills to get my passion out. So it started in high school.
And so were you ever a Toastmaster?
No. In fact, several of my friends have been in Toastmasters. I know folks who have gone up the ranks and are Toastmaster masters. But I never joined Toastmasters myself. I think I had my own process, and I was concerned about incorporating and not being me. So I did not go the Toastmasters route.
Just curious, because I've been a Toastmaster for years, and sometimes I hear about that. So I always ask that question. So how did you come to decide, or what topics do you present on, and how did you create those topics? What made you decide to speak on these specific issues?
So I'm one of those folks where my topic found me. I have been doing a number of leadership development presentations over the years. And in 2007, I had a woman who had, let's call it a CEO support group. So CEOs from non-competing industries would get together, and they would bring in speakers periodically. And she came to me and she said, "You know, I'm hearing a lot about," and I don't want anyone to be offended, "the new animal in the zoo." "Oh, what are you talking about?" She goes, the newest generation coming in. I said, "Wow, I've got a topic that I had years ago, and I dusted it off. I put new information in, and I started giving the presentation on the generations, trying not just to pinpoint our millennials or our Gen Ys, to do all generations. And I found that people in the room really wanted to hear more and more about how do I interact with our youngest professionals." So this topic found me. And just throughout the years, I've got such good stories because people tell me some good stuff in the workshop. But that's how the generational stuff found me. From leadership development, I found that I go into organizations, we develop strategies, and then I would find out that they weren't implementing the strategies when I'd come in for my checkups. Okay, what's that all about? Well, it's the people, silly. I ended up going more and more into communication topics and organizational development topics, just knowing that there were people who needed some guidance and some counsel. So my topic sort of found me as my work developed.
Yeah, I find the multi-generational topic fascinating because as a baby boomer myself, and while my husband is significantly older than I am, in a few years he's going to be retiring, and I read a lot about how the boomers are attempting to hold on to their jobs while at the same time the millennials bring a whole different perspective to business, especially with technology. And I bet that's probably a pretty popular topic for you.
Absolutely. I get called in when people are having some issues going, we do not understand how each other thinks. I had a situation where I had like an all-millennial sales force go, we are calling on baby boomers and we don't understand them. Conversely, I've had just the opposite where I've got Gen X and baby boomers going, we don't understand how these guys are thinking. Can you come in and educate us on that? And when I'm talking baby boomers, I use the periodicities of a baby boomer is 1946 to 64 born, and then
right.
Gen X, 1965 to 80. Our millennials, Gen Ys, I use them interchangeably, 81 to 96. So there's a bunch of different periodicities out there. So when I'm using those, I like to just make sure that people understand so they can slot themselves in. Oh, she's talking about that one.
Yes, and I understand the differences. My millennial just moved back in, moving back from Santa Barbara where she went to school and resettling down here. And for the first couple of months, it was a process to understand, you know, how she thinks and what she's up to versus how I think and what I'm up to. So I'm just fascinated with that whole topic. Between the two that you do, the generational and the leadership, which are the more popular and lucrative for you?
Definitely the generational one.
Mm-hmm.
Not only has it been trending for a number of years, but it's also been morphing as each generation grows older. We have the same motivating factors, but they mellow out in some generations. They come to the forefront a little bit in others, and then they're definitely showing themselves in who's the manager and who's the employee, as we see those differences, as baby boomers might be saying, okay, had enough of the management track. I'm interested in being an individual contributor now. And then you've got the other younger generations going, oh, it's my turn to take leadership. And they're doing it much differently than baby boomers. So that dynamic is changing, which makes it pretty interesting when I go in and start expounding about what the research says and then what it looks like in application for them.
Yeah, I can just imagine. And so is that where you get the different stories that you use in your presentations?
You know, years ago, I read the Guidepost magazine, and there was this excellent author, Sue Monk Kidd. She has since gone on to do a number of bestsellers. And I would read her stuff, and I'd say, man, the coolest stuff always happens to this woman. And then I realized cool stuff was happening. I wasn't paying attention. So I started paying more attention to what people were talking about, really honed my listening skills. And now when I go into each organization, I find myself going, oh, that is such a great story. I'm going to have to integrate that in. And, of course, I ask permission, like, that is so great. Are you okay with me talking about that in my presentation, as long as I don't identify you and your company? Because
right.
Some of them aren't always the happiest.
Right.
But I've just
found, I can imagine.
You know, the stories that people tell. And what's been fascinating, Deborah, is that some of my best stories started out really early. Like when the guy said, okay, this is a millennial standing up. He goes, I want to talk about why every generation thinks my generation's entitled. which, of course, everybody in the room was like, yeah, we do want to hear what you have to say on this. Traditionalist, but you believe you're entitled because you're old. Baby boomers, you believe you're entitled because you're experienced. And Gen X, you think you're entitled because you're educated. Why do you have a problem with me being entitled because I'm me? Which started a really great discussion in the room. It didn't get resolved. But, you know, cool things like that actually happen in the room and during the workshops and presentations that I do when people ask me questions. So I'm just finding good stories everywhere.
Yeah, I bet, because it's such a dilemma right now with boomers attempting to stay in the workforce probably longer than their parents decided they would stay in the workforce, and the millennials wanting to basically change the world. I think you can see it in the political situation that we're seeing right now, especially on the Democratic side, where there's such a populist movement of young people surrounding Bernie Sanders and his ideas. It's a fascinating process to watch, because I just know my own experience of millennials and my daughter and her friends. It's a lot different than when my husband and I were her age and working through our relationship and moving through our life and our professional lives as well. So when you're working on your presentations, what is your process for customizing the presentation for that particular audience?
So ultimately, I'm a strategist. I've got a graduate degree with an emphasis in strategic planning from Pepperdine.
Mm.
And that process, they gave me this process for me to think through, which means ultimately, every time I sit down with somebody who wants to hire me, I'm like, what do you really want to get out of this? What's the behavior change that you're hoping to see? Is this just more entertainment? Do you want people to be sitting there and me asking provocative questions where they're going, whoa, maybe I should look at the world a little bit differently? Because, of course, I'm looking for relevance and impact, and I want to make sure that there's this value equation in my head, Deborah, that says must add value, must add value. So my process is really this discovery of what it is that we're really hoping to achieve. And sometimes I have people going, whoa, we just sort of just wanted a speaker on the topic. Well, let me give you a little bit more information, and would this cause you to go, maybe we can get dual purpose out of what you're offering? So, again, it's that value equation in my head. So my process is to ask a lot of questions about what do people want? What does their workforce currently look like? So what are the demographics? Is there anybody that I can talk to ahead of time before I go in and do the presentation to know what their particular issues are, so that I'm hitting the nail on the head each time? I don't want to be like the off-the-shelf, here's some interesting information person. I want to be that person that folks in the audience go, oh, now that was worthwhile. And the topic, when it comes to the generations, like you had mentioned with your daughter, it's not just what's happening in the workplace. It's how we interact with our children. It's interacting with customers, vendors. So it has such applicability.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very, very diverse workforce right now that everybody's trying to juggle. How long have you been doing this?
So I've been presenting pretty much once I got into the workforce. This topic, I started in 2007, and it has morphed through the years. I laugh when I look back at some of my old PowerPoint presentations of what I thought was important when I first started. And then as the workshops and the presentations have gone on, I've seen what it is that people really respond to the most. When I start talking about millennials and their desire to be happy, it's like a magic word for them. So when I say something like that, people are like, oh, this is the generation that wants to be happy. So I started doing this topic. I'm on my 9th year of it, but it's more throughout the years, especially when new research comes out. And when it comes to this topic, there's plenty of research to work with.
Well, Sherry, I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners who probably would love to talk to you about presenting to their organizations because they're probably seeing these trends in their organization as well. How can they get in touch with you? What would be a good number, email, or website address that they could use to reach out to you?
Sure. Our phone number is 855-608-3268. We actually have two websites. We have sherrypetro.com, which I got years ago. I remember when I got it thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do with this. And then the company website is vpistrategies.com. So it's victorpauliestrategies.com. And the email is info@vpistrategies.com.
Yes, when I was hired by McGraw-Hill in 1994 because of my desktop publishing skills to start developing their first new media division, and they were creating online products, and I had an eye for detail in that. And that's when I remember one of the first videos we saw on the web, and I thought, wow, the World Wide Web, I think I'll just stay inside AOL's bubble where I'll be safe, and never ventured out there. And then, you know, when you start venturing out there, and I did that, I bought my URL, had no idea what I was going to do with it. But it's been fascinating to watch the technology advance. And I think sometimes when the millennials see me, it's somewhat a surprise that there's an older woman who's a lot more knowledgeable about technology than maybe their own parents are. So it's kind of a funny thing with the technology and the millennials, because it's all second nature to them.
Yeah, we talk about they are digital natives and the rest of us are digital immigrants.
That's pretty good, yes. I know. We got a cell phone for our daughter when she started driving her car, and it was a flip phone at that time, so I got a cell phone too, which a flip phone, and I thought that was so cool, you know. And then I got my little BlackBerry, and I remember being at an event with millennials surrounding me, and I had my little BlackBerry, and they all had their smartphones, and I didn't understand why they were kind of snickering a little bit. When I got my real smartphone, I figured it all out. So what are the lessons that you've learned along the way as you've built this business?
So my company is 16 years old, and I had introduced speaking probably about year six. I wish I would have started that earlier. I wish I would have focused a little earlier. You know, the cool thing about this topic is it was always something that interested me when it came to the generational work, but I was so afraid of missing something. And I did a lot of research, synthesized it on a lot of different topics. So I would definitely say being able to focus, doing that a little bit better. I wish I would have done that sooner. I wish I would have gotten more experts involved. I was one of those folks that's like, oh, I'm going to do all of this myself. I'm the independent, strong woman. Only to find out that there's really no way, especially when you're talking about the technology, it's so hard to keep up in one phase of your organization. And then when you're talking about technology changing at the rate that it does, yeah, I definitely wish I would have hired some of my experts earlier. Like you see, if you go to our websites, I was able to bring in a woman who previously had been a student of mine. I teach a strategy for California Miramar University as an adjunct professor. And I started talking with this gal. She was really wonderful. And I thought, we did a mentoring thing for a couple of years. And then we were talking about what I wanted to do with the company. And, you know, light bulb, hello, sitting right in front of you. And so I brought her in. So I would say bringing in the experts and recognizing what's right in front of your face, and then hooking into things like the San Diego Speakers Guild, where there are folks out there looking for you, and you need to find the vehicles in order to be able to connect with them. So things like that where it's like, oh, I just wish I would have been smarter.
And then you mentioned technology. In your speaking career, how has the technology changed for you?
So recently I was doing a 45-minute presentation. And I walked in the room, and they had the entire room dark. And up on the screen, they are showing vignettes from sort of like Games of Thrones-esque type visuals. And I know that I'm going on next. And they said, before you get up here, just want to share with you that there's going to be a little vignette of you before you start your presentation. I'm like, okay. So the president gets up. Here's our next speaker. Hold on a moment. Let's see what she's really doing. And flashed up on the screen is a vignette from Games of Thrones where you've got a woman, I look like she was actually on a pirate ship, with a, like the swashbuckler. And I'm like, wow, my name is posted up there. Yeah, 10 years ago when I started doing this, I didn't really have that type of swashbuckling, take your sword. It was pretty grotesque. No, so that was some, you know, something to change in terms of the introductions and the fun use of video. Presentation materials being much different. You know, the impact of TED Talks has also been felt. Where you go up and you're not entirely scripted like I was in the very beginning. And your visuals are much more prompters.
Yes, and you know, we have a Sue Talks at Connected Women of Influence. So you'll have to check that out. We're having a, I think we're accepting applications right now for the May event for Sue Talks. But you can find Sue Talks on YouTube. All you have to do is search Sue Talks on YouTube, and you'll find our Sue Talks that we had, I guess it was the end of last year. It was really, or maybe the beginning of this year. I'm getting old. I can't remember sometimes. I'll tell you that caveat. So let me ask you, what's been your greatest success in your speaking career?
That gal that I'd mentioned in one of my previous answers came to me when she said, you know, I'd really like to see you do this topic. And she sponsored me in that CEO support group, and I ended up giving presentations to about 650 executives of for-profits, nonprofits, and government agencies. And it really boosted my confidence, and I realized the impact of the message, because I would have people come back and tell me what that meant to them, or I'd get unsolicited email testimonials back, and went, oh, wow, okay. That in that whole thing about are we making a difference, that's been the greatest success when I get those things where people come up to me afterwards and go, oh, this explains so much. I'm going to be able to connect better. I'm about workplace communication. I've not walked into an organization where somebody says, communication around here is spectacular. And if there's anything I can do when it comes to the generational work, to help us connect better, that's success.
Yeah, I saw that. I spoke last week to the American Women's Business Association, and one gal came up to me afterwards. She goes, "You're so inspirational." That's because I could relate to her because we were close to the same age, and I wasn't a millennial discussing with them about social media. So it is really interesting when you can make a difference and bring some clarity to someone who might have been confused about what you were presenting before you came along and clarified it for them. So you've got so much experience. Is there a book in all of this?
Is
Have
there
you
a
thought
book
about
that inspired
that?
Me or
know that you thought about writing
a book?
Yeah.
Actually, I had about 2002, I put an outline together, and in 2005, I pulled it out. 2007, once I realized the focus, where I was going, my problem, Deborah, is I don't take the time to make it happen. I've even had folks come to me and go, oh, we should put things together. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to that. I just haven't made it a priority. So, yes, I believe there is a book in here, but I have to figure out in my baby boomer change the world where I'm going to fit that in.
Yes. Well, I'll just let you know that there is Women Lead Publishing at Connected Women of Influence as well if you want to talk to Michelle Bergquist about that at any point in time. But it's been a fascinating interview with you today. It's been delightful to get to know you better, to find out more about the multi-generational interactions within corporate America and other small businesses. It's got to be a topic that definitely keeps you on your toes, right? Because you have to adjust with the different changes as the next generation comes up. What do you see in the few moments we have together? I'll ask you one last question. What do you see past the millennials and the trends that you think are going with the kids that are in high school now?
So we have no imagination. We are calling the next generation Gen Z, XYZ. We just can't seem to come up with anything interesting, although I did see somebody call them Homelanders. I think that was Neil Strauss, or Howen Strauss. What I'm seeing is that this native digital thing that we're talking about, they are starting so early. The dilemma there is that there's not a lot of really great research out yet because they're so young. I'm getting some things where their marketability, each generation sort of swings back and forth. I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to be like my parents. And so this generation is a little bit more like Gen X and traditionalists, this one coming up, versus Gen Ys and baby boomers. So I'm seeing absolutely the subscription to technology, but there's not a lot of really good research out yet. They're tending to be a little bit more practical as they're being raised in this environment. Certainly as connected as any other generation, perhaps even more when you see two-year-olds that are already swiping things on the phone.
Yeah, I noticed that. We have young nephews, and I noticed he was 4 at the time, and that was several years ago. And he was automatically swiping phones, and I thought, whoa, it's interesting to watch the kids grow up. Sherry, thank you so much for being a guest on Women Leading Today. I really appreciate it. It's been a great time interviewing you and finding out more about what you're doing. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
No, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. And that, I'm Deborah Simpson, the host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. We'll be back next Monday morning at 9 a.m. for another Women Lead radio show. We hope you'll join us. And remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. Until next week, I hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.